The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
We've been in this series called Tomorrow Today, and it's a very interesting challenge as I have been just really staring at and studying hard this whole concept of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus has been describing this kingdom, and it has just created a buzz around the whole mountainside in Galilee, Sermon on the Mount. And we've looked at a few big themes, and just to kind of review to catch us up to speed as to where we will go today. The first thing that Jesus says is he really opens up the gates to the kingdom in such a way that he describes the kinds of people that are going to be a part of this movement, this kingdom of God. And so it was people that were poor in spirit. And the mourning, they are going to be blessed are the mourning. Those that are experiencing sorrow. Blessed are the meek. He says, blessed are the hunger, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those are the people that are part of this movement, this kingdom. And then he talked about the merciful, you merciful types, you're part of my kingdom. Those that are pure in heart, and those that are peacemakers, those that are persecuted because of being a part of what it is that I'm about, you're part of my kingdom. He invites any and all to be a part of this kingdom. And that certainly was good news, because Jesus was saying, it's open to normal, broken people. And that just stirred up everything, because Jesus, what he was doing, he was redefining the way that people thought about this coming kingdom, this thing that God had promised to bring down and had been prophesied for years, for centuries. And Jesus is redefining it all. And so normal, get this, normal, broken people, we're invited into this kingdom. So that was really, really good news. And then Jesus wanted this good news, this message, to go forward. And so the second swing, almost, if you will, of what Jesus says on that mountain, he says, I want this message to spread. And the way that he caused it to spread is through normal, broken people. He called it being salt and being light. And this was certainly bad news to the religious people. So good news for normal broken, bad news for the religious people. And then the third swing that Jesus takes is really, he does his best to describe and define and show the difference between religion and kingdom life, as we looked at last week. It's not about what you do, it's about who you are. It's not so much of the activities and the lists that you and I sometimes think that we need to be about. It's that we are treasured sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that was absolutely backwards to the thinking of the day. So it's really interesting what Jesus is doing. So today, what we are going to look at is, today, Jesus really is redefining the kinds of relationships that are in this kingdom of God. And this is actually going to take place over a few weeks, because Jesus takes a few specific looks at certain different relationships. Marriage relationships and such are coming up. But today, there is going to be some things that Jesus says that I think absolutely is radical. Because he is very aware of the fact that his kingdom is made of people. And friends, wherever there's people, there's conflict. And so maintenance in relationships is required. And so Jesus just really kind of goes after this very much at the front end of really describing the difference between religion and kingdom life, relationships. And so listen to what Jesus has to say. Matthew 5. We're going to start at 21. I'm going to read straight through to 26. and you can follow along in your Bibles if you have them here this morning. It says, "You have heard that it was said to an older generation, 'Do not murder,' and whoever murders will be subjected to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with a brother will be subjected to judgment, and whoever insults a brother will be brought before the council, and whoever says 'fool' will be sent to fiery hell. So then, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your gift. Reach agreement quickly with your accuser while on the way to court, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the warden. You will be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will never get out of there until you have paid every last penny." And so, Jesus is redefining the view of relationships. And I think when Jesus said these words, it absolutely sent shockwaves to the listeners. And here's why. The listeners in that day, and especially the religious people of the day, they never ever thought that relationships with one another was on the same league, the same plane, the same platform as worship to God. They had never ever thought that they should even be considered the same, because here's why. Worship was way up. And the way that worship happened, the way that worship took place, is by obeying every little rule that the scribes and the Pharisees considered needed to be obeyed. Relationships, well, they were way low. And so these people, they had an awful lot to learn about how bound together relationships with one another were with our relationship with our God. And so Jesus is just saying, you people, you are so religious. I mean, you go around saying you haven't murdered anybody. And you pat yourself on the back that there's no blood on your hands. But your heart is not loving at all. You walk around saying, you know, you haven't committed cold-blooded murder. But you've got stains on the inside that are just not right. You walk around glad that you haven't murdered anyone, and you're thinking that's okay. But I say to you, I know something about you. And I know that you're walking around and you're demeaning people. And you're acting callously toward people. And you're calling people fool and bonehead, and loser. I mean, this is not the way of the kingdom, not my kingdom. Relationships in my kingdom, Jesus says, needs to be about a heart of love and trust and forgiveness and grace giving toward people. There is no exceptions. Jesus is saying that love is what is going to convince the watching world that this kingdom that we've been talking about is true and real. And he says, you know, if we really do want to show the watching world that this is right and that the gospel has a power, it has to be about love. Listen to Jesus' words, actually. Let's read these together. John chapter 13. I think this one should be on the screen. Let's read these words together. "I give you a new commandment to love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Everyone will know by this that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." See, Jesus knew how cynical people would be outside the family of God, and rightly so, many of them. But Jesus also knew there's a hope of winning the hearts of those people that are just confused about God, cynical about God, the church. There's only one way to soften their heart, and it's love. And Jesus knew that. He knew that it was going to be love toward the poor, love toward the unlovely. He knew that it was going to be love that would break down those barriers that would cause people to not even consider the good news of the kingdom. And so Jesus just says we have got to be about love. And when we are about love, to know that the source of our love and to be really, really clear about it is God. And we get to point to God. It's all about Jesus. And so Jesus really, he was describing the kingdom. And as his description was unfolding, he says, the only way that this kingdom of God is going to thrive is that if at the heart of it, there's love, loving relationships. And that was completely new to many of the listeners that day. Wow, relationships at the same level as worship. Interesting. But what happens when there's a breakdown in relationship? What happens if there's a breakdown in love? Jesus goes on to say in verse 23, so then, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your gift. Jesus says, even if there is a little breakdown of love in your relationships, he says, I'm suggesting you take drastic action. I mean, you know, when there's a breakdown, there's something that we lose. And so Jesus is saying, if you're worshiping God like we have been this morning and like we are now, and even while I'm speaking, if the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind a face where you know that there's a breakdown of love, Jesus is saying, I give you permission to take immediate action and to do something fast. When love breaks down, Jesus says, we lose our most potent power to allow people to understand the kingdom and the awesomeness of this kingdom I'm describing. It's when we lose love. We lose the potential of showing people that there's something to embrace and to be invited in and to be a part of. If we lose love, we lose that. But there's something else that we lose too. We lose our intimacy with our relationship with God. We lose our intimacy with our relationship with God. It's very interesting to me. Some people feel that for whatever reason, we can just continue on with our relationship with God and to somehow believe that it is still an intimate relationship when there's breakdown of relationship in and around us. We can't do that. Sometimes people think that it's just life as usual. Breakdown here, breakdown there, but God, you and I were okay. We just kind of toss out relationships. And there's a breakdown every single time. And God says, that is not the relationships that are going to be happening in my kingdom. Listen to this verse in 1 John 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his fellow Christian, he is a liar. Because the one who does not love his fellow Christian whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. These are strong words this morning, friends. This is a radical thing that Jesus is communicating here. The Sermon on the Mount, these words are going to cut every one of us this morning. They're cutting me. I got to say them. Jesus is saying some radical things this morning. I just pray that your mind is open, that your heart is ready to receive what it is that God wants you to hear this morning. Because in this verse, it is saying, those who claim to love God but they hate someone, they are a liar. You cannot do that, God says. Our relationships with each other and with God have this curious linkage. Think of it this way. There's a dad, and he's got two sons. And they're out on a boat one day, Saturday morning, early. They get ready. They're going on a little fishing little fishing trip on a lake, and so they get everything ready. They're in the middle of the lake, and they're sitting there. But the brothers, the two sons, they've had a falling out with one another. And so picture the scene. Here's Dad in the center of the boat, and his two sons, you know, they're wanting to dialogue with Dad okay. They just won't dialogue with each other. And so the father is trying to engage his sons, but it's not working out very good, and it starts to smell funny. And it's not the fish. It's just smelling funny. And there's no joy. And every comment by the sons is measured. And every word stated is calculated. There's no joy. There's no openness. And they end up packing up real early, like at 9 in the morning. It's done. Because Dad knows. Breakdown here. Now compare that with the father that has two sons, and it's all good. They get up early in the morning, they get out their supplies, they get out the boat, they put the boat in the water, they sit in the boat and they start to oar out in the middle of the lake, and then the jokes start happening. And then they start telling stories. The conversation is just flowing freely, and they're laughing. And they're sharing honest words with one another. And there's smiles across all faces. I mean, that's the kind of boat where people on the shore, they see something like they want to be in that boat. Because there's something good happening in that boat. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And he's describing the kind of relationships that this kingdom requires. And so Jesus is saying, listen, think of it this way. There's the Heavenly Father, and he's got a boat, and he's in the middle of the boat, and all of his kids are, they've taken seats around this boat, around him. And if we're doing kingdom life right, the conversation around that boat is, yes, it's directed to the Father, but it's directed to one another. And there's joy, and honesty, sincerity, and authenticity. And real challenge, but it's sweet. And there's no smell of fish. But you all know too, as I do, there's no worse place to be than on a boat if relationships have gone south. I mean, it's just so hard because very, very soon you can just feel that trust and loyalty starts eroding. And very soon after this, there's the whisper of some kind of information that is starting to happen. And pretty soon, sides start forming, and accusations are being made and defended. And Jesus says, listen, if you're worshiping me and you realize there's someone where there's a breakdown, then just stand up, gather your stuff, excuse yourself, and make that right. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a very popular pastor, in this century, he's passed away now, in his commentary on this section, I just like what he says. He says, Jesus was so determined to make sure that the listeners understood the urgency of this. Jesus is saying, you make sure you understand how important right relationships are, even if you keep God waiting. Leave your sacrifice at the altar, excuse yourself, take care of that, come back, even if you keep God waiting. And it doesn't matter who started it, and it doesn't matter who caused it. Before it spreads, be urgent. Take immediate action, Jesus says. Before it spreads and affects the family system, you try and you fix that relationship. Verse 25. Jesus says, reach agreement quickly with your accuser. See, Jesus knows that you can be in great and loving relationships one day, and love breaks down the very next. Wow, in no time at all. We can just be saying, you know, if not verbally, certainly with our thoughts. I hate that guy. She cannot be trusted. I will never engage in a relationship like that again. And Jesus just knows there's just something going on. And as Jesus is talking about this kingdom life and the relationships in it, I think we have just got to pause and ask ourselves some questions about what Jesus are you really saying here to me? How is my relationships? And I think another thing is, what can we learn from this passage as to the progression of how relational life works for us? Dallas Willard, he's written a book called Divine Conspiracy, and one of the things that he says that I thought was very, very helpful, and that is he says, you know, there's a progression that takes place in verse 23. And in verse 23, as we say, if you're angry with your brother, and anger, Dallas says, is just simply someone has intruded in what it is that you long for. Someone has interfered in what it is that you want to accomplish. Somebody has gotten in the way of what it is you want to be about. And if you think about anger, the only reason that we kind of well up inside us, we surge up, is because somebody's opposing. Somebody's blocking. Somebody's in our way. This is kind of life, isn't it? Dallas says we've got one of two choices. We can either accept that or we can push that aside. The right answer is we push it aside. We just say, okay, I felt that, but you know what? I'm going to live life differently. And we're not even going to embrace that anger. We feel anger. We can feel anger, but we don't have to sin in our anger, Ephesians tells us. And the way we don't sin in it is we choose to put that away. Dallas says that if we choose to embrace it, if we choose to allow that to kind of stir in us, we go to level two. And that is in verse 23 where it says, insult your brother. Dallas calls that contempt. Contempt is that you just choose to kind of exclude, push away, withdraw from that individual. It's worse than anger, but it's really subtle. Anger, we have a choice. We can embrace or we can leave it aside. If we choose to embrace, we step to number two, and that is contempt. We want to push away. We want to withdraw from. It's exclusion of another individual. It's number two. Number three, if you call your brother a fool, now we've moved into level three. This is verbal abuse. It's not literally the word fool. But now what we are doing is we are active about the words we say to people, and we just say, you are a no good. You are a no count. You are a jerk. You are a loser. You are a bonehead. And we have excluded people right to their face, and that is illegal in the kingdom. Jesus says, if you're worshiping me and you realize that there's a face that comes to your attention and you know there's a breakdown of love, you better engage it. And you better engage it quickly. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:26, do not let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. And Paul is saying the same thing. He says, don't let those toxins take over. Don't let the toxins have a head start. Don't let those toxins kind of control and give way to the damage that can take place if you don't stop it quickly. Because our witness to the world is at stake. You know what the Bible calls death to our relational world? It's called the hardness of one's heart. When the hardness of one's heart starts to form, the toxins have taken root. The toxins have had an effect, and there's something within an individual where they're starting to harden up, and they just continue to harden up because they haven't taken the words of Jesus serious enough. And so Jesus is just saying, please take immediate action. If you know that this is taking place, you need to engage. You need to engage. So Jesus is saying, responsibility is to try and reconcile that relationship. Jesus doesn't say, you go up to that guy and you stick your finger in his chest and you say, you know, we have a score to settle. Jesus isn't saying that. And Jesus is not saying that we should be going up to people and just vomiting all over them and spewing our hurt. Jesus is not saying that we should push issues under the carpet and say a fake spiritual prayer. Jesus is saying, kingdom relationships. There's going to be times where you're going to bump around. There's going to be times when noses bump. There's going to be times where there's just bumpy road in the relationship. So reconcile it. Do the work of reconciliation. And so, I just want to pause for a moment and just ask you to just, as we are worshiping God here this morning, what are you thinking about? Jesus' words are strong words, aren't they? What are you thinking about? Maybe you're here this morning and you're just a little uncomfortable. Maybe there's some things I've said that are really causing you to maybe face things that maybe you didn't want to face or consider things you didn't want to consider. Maybe even as you've been sitting here, there's been faces that come to mind that you realize that there's a breakdown. I really wondered what I would do at this part of our service. Jesus said, you know, as we're worshiping, which we're doing right now, and you realize that there's somebody, you should leave. Isn't that radical? I don't know what leave means. Maybe it means that there's something in your own mind that you would say, wow, I want to really pay attention to that. There's something I need to consider. I really don't want to move on too quickly from where we are right now because I do think that God does something unique when we've gathered like we have this morning. And I mean, I pray before I open a passage like this that His Holy Spirit would be strong and would just be able to register with us, with me, with you, what it is that God wants us to do. Today, we're talking about relationships. I would really hope that we would be honest enough to be able to receive that word from God, and if there's something that we need to do, that we would be listening. And not that we would just listen, but that we would be obedient to do what it is that He's asked us to do. So what do? The one thing I was really afraid of as well is to kind of come up with 3 steps. Because formulas don't really, they're not worth much, I find, these days. Because, I mean, what we're talking about today is relationships are very complex, aren't they? The dynamics of them are very, very unique. Breakdowns in relationship from one to the next are very different, and so each needs to be considered with great discernment and great wisdom and great humility. So even though I'm fearful of 3 points, what I'm going to do my best is to softly move toward, I think, what would be 3 principles that I try and do, and they come out of a passage in Ephesians. The verses are 15 and 32 of Ephesians 4. This is what it says. But practicing the truth in love, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. There's just so much relational instruction in these 2 short verses, isn't there? So let's just say you're here as I am this morning. And we sense that God has drawn our attention to somebody. Or that in some future time, God would draw attention to someone in your life. Here's what I would humbly present as maybe ways to move toward people. And friends, I don't always get this right. I get banged around an awful lot in my own relational world just trying to get this right. So again, I just very humbly, as your servant here this morning, I want to talk a little bit about some practical things when it comes to relationships that are broken. And what should we do? First is this. When you're going to meet with someone, you call them up on the phone and you want to set up a time where you're going to meet them at a restaurant, maybe or at their home. I would just simply say that when you walk into the room or when you walk into that restaurant, how you carry yourself, boy, it makes all the difference. If you're carrying yourself in and you know you're setting up a time to talk with this brother or this sister, and you've got an air of self-righteousness about yourself, or of power, or of intimidation, or of like any of that, that other person will just smell you coming 4 miles away. It really will. But again, when we understand the kingdom of God, and when we understand the power of the gospel, and that grace has come to forgive your and my sin, and when we're really clear as to what we've been saved from and what we've been forgiven of, there's only one word we know, and that's grace. Grace. It's grace has been given. And when we're really clear and we understand that there's a breakdown, we walk with grace. We understand that there's no way we could even walk in the kingdom of God without there being grace. And so we want to be gracious. And so as you walk into the room, and as you approach this person, you understand it starts with grace, forgiveness of sin, and then I've been adopted into God's family, and I'm walking in grace. And that my Heavenly Father is gracious toward me every day until I get to heaven. It's all about grace. So as we move in to that room and we move into our eyes meeting with the individual that we've had a breakdown with, we understand we want to be gracious. And if we do that well, friends, that's an awesome bridge builder. Maybe before you set up that appointment, you need to just spend some time in prayer. Maybe you need to settle down. Maybe you need to just get clear about the issues. Maybe you need to study grace. But before you make that call, before you make that appointment, I would just want to say, there's a big thing you sure need to understand, and that is the way you approach that person really matters. That's the first idea. The second is this. Even if you get that first one right and you're gracious, we can mess up on this one. When it comes time to talk, be clear. When it comes time to open your mouth and to speak about what it is that you need to say, intentionality really matters. I mean, for us to just say, hey, Jim, I don't think it's any mistake that between you and I, we know that things have gone south. And so I want to talk with you about what it could look like for us to be reconciled, for us to reestablish good relationship. I want us to talk about what we could do to come together and repair what has been broken. And Jim, I know we're not going to agree on everything. I just want to reestablish the relationship. Jesus is saying, it's really, really important for us to just understand that when there's a breakdown, that we would just say, I'd like to reestablish that. Even if we do not we do not get every issue settled. It's a far cry from saying, hey, Jim, look, we've got some problems. Now, let's get out our lists. Let's get out our boxing gloves. Let's get out our jackhammers. And let's just hammer this thing out. And let's see who's right, who's wrong. Let's deal with this. Friends, very, very rarely, if ever, is reconciliation ever going to take place in that kind of an environment. You know that. I know that. And I yet make that mistake. So the first thing, how we approach the person really matters. We need to be gracious. Secondly, the words we say needs to be really clear. Thirdly, asking forgiveness is really important. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, just kind of tapping your foot and waiting for the other person to apologize. You know, we're waiting them out. We're cold. We're not really engaged. We're waiting for them to say, I'm sorry. I mean, owning our part early on in the conversation. Friends, this has taken me years to learn, and I still have so much to learn. But I understand I own something in every single relational breakdown that has taken place in my life. I own something. Have you ever played the percentage game? Where you know that there's a breakdown and you go back to your house or your office or your place, whatever, and you do this little game. You go, okay, well, listen, I'm about 20% to blame, but he's 80. So, like, the obligation of this is him. I place the burden of responsibility on him. And if he calls me and pleads and begs for my forgiveness, I'll grant. I hate the percentage game. Jesus says, if there's somebody who has something against you, you go. It's extremely convicting to me. Is it to you? That's kingdom relationships. Jesus is redefining things, and he's just simply saying, you know, we need to approach people that way. And so what would that sound like if you were to approach someone with a gracious spirit and you sit down and you're dialoguing and you're saying, hey, you know, I know that things aren't right and we need to work this out. I think it would sound something like this. Jim, hey, listen, we know that things need some attention here. Things have broken down. But before we engage in this conversation, I want to say something I'm really sorry for. I own my part. And Jim, before we engage in this anymore, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Friends, I think if we were able to approach people like that, forgiveness would come easier. Would you agree? Now, sometimes we've tried to reconcile with people, and I don't know why, but for some reason, they don't want to. You know that there's a breakdown. You know that love has just been broken. You know that that relationship is in big trouble. And you've tried to approach them graciously. And you've tried to have been clear. And you've tried to even own what you can own. But for whatever reason, they just want to keep on fighting. This is really, really hard. What do we do then? Romans 12:18 says this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. At least do your part. At least try. Hey, if you're worshiping God and a face comes to mind where you know that there's a problem and you leave and you are trying to be gracious, and you're trying to be clear, and you're trying to own your part, but for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to move, it doesn't seem to get better, friends, you can't control the other side. And everything about that is just sad. And I have some of those right now. And it's not easy. Just won't move. What do you do? I mean, you beat your head against the wall. You invade, you know, in areas where you're just not invited. What do you do? Well, God knew. There are times where you just have got to understand. It's enough now, Mike. You've tried. It's enough now. You're actually doing damage to yourself now. You're beating yourself up unnecessarily. You cannot live with that tension over an extended period of time. So do your best as far as it is up to you, Mike. Be at peace with all people. You know, it's so funny. It's last week I had opportunity. We serve on a church planning board, and then there's a church planning board in the United States, and there's four or five from our group and four or five from the States group, and we come together and we do this once a year. We brainstorm about different things that we think that the churches really need to embrace, specifically the church plants that we are giving leadership to, and it was a great 3 days just this last week. And guy I'm really good friends with, he and I, we were in a dialogue, and something went funky in the conversation. And it was just an interesting thing. And you know, of course, I've been preparing this message for, you know, weeks already. And I saw before my very eyes, just this week, relationship breakdown. There was this approach to one another, and I was asking him some questions about next steps, and he took it personal, and I was confused as to, you know, what kind of was going on there. And then I realized that I was watching him withdraw. You know how you can just see it. It's like on the boat. You can just see it take place. And I just go, whoa, like, oh, I think you've misunderstood me. And it was like we had to just kind of back up. And, I mean, this was done pretty quickly because it was in, the, you know, a given couple of hours. But it was one of these things where there was clearly a ding. And there was three of us there, so I had another pastor friend of mine in the circle. And so we kind of had the three of us to kind of just, okay, what happened there? And what ended up happening is that there was something that had never really been dialogued about, and it was a sensitive issue theologically. We're talking about the Bible, friends. It was really an interesting thing. But there was a ding. And I just thought, boy, isn't it interesting as to how, you know, the enemy will use anything. And I just turned to my brother and said, man, like, I'm sorry, I obviously hit a nerve with you. And will you forgive me? And yes, of course, forgiveness is given. I went back to my room. And you know how you feel when you've just kind of, ooh, that was a little funky. And the other guy that was a part of this threesome was in my room, and so we were able to talk about it. And I just, you know, I really thought we were exploring some really important things for our planners to wrestle with. I had no idea that was where he was at. And so some good things will come out of that. But I'm just telling you the realities of this thing. The next morning, I had to really make sure, are we okay? And so first thing, 7, we did breakfast, and we were sitting at the table, and I went and sat beside him, and I just, my eyes met his eyes. I said, hey, we good? Yeah, we're fine. I said, again, I'm just sorry about that. This is something, I think, friends, that we have to just say is normal. And I don't know how that flies with you, but I do know this. Jesus is redefining things in his kingdom. It's not enough to just obey the law. Don't commit murder. Jesus is saying it goes way deeper than that. The relationships that my kingdom are about, they need to be heartfelt, trust-filled, grace-filled, quick to forgive. And I think as God sees you and I, take serious this issue of kingdom living, that when we see that there is a breakdown, that we would extend the hand. Because we want to reconcile that relationship, I think that just brings a smile to God's face. Because he says, blessed are the peacemakers. They're going to inherit a lot. They're just like my son Jesus, who came to reconcile the world. That's why we're here. We're here to make sure that relationships are right. And when we know that they're not, friends, we do not have the option to not engage. I pray, and I will in a moment, that there would be something within your own spirit that you would understand that this is a huge privilege that God has given you and I, and that your heart is filled with hope, because his Holy Spirit is with you and I as we engage these things. We just need to get humble, and we need to own our part, but that we've got the Holy Spirit with us as we engage people, praying for reconciliation, praying for a bringing together of a relationship. It is not right. So this isn't a Sunday where it's like big high fives. These are strong words spoken from Jesus. And I hope that I've been able to treat them rightly, lift them appropriately. My own conviction, maybe some of you as well, I've got to do better at relationships. Really, really important, and it really, really matters.